Welcome to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And here we are with the second Star Trek episode in a row.
Yeah, I was about to ask, what are we investigating today? And yeah. It's more Star Trek.
It is. A little because I went to go find the issues of Alpha Flight that we're going to review coming up, and there's a gap in my short box.
Oh, unexpected.
Yeah, so I don't know where the three issues are. I'll find them.
Like they were pulled earlier and placed somewhere in the house?
Yes.
Oh.
Well. Very annoying.
We will come back to Alpha Flight shortly.
Yes.
Next episode, in fact.
Yes. It's been a busy weekend.
Sort of. we've recovered most of today.
Yeah. Although cooking lunch took a lot longer than I think either of us thought it would.
But we used the red cabbage, the scallion, and two apples.
Yeah.
So we made a red cabbage dish, also with some kielbasa that was just thawing in the fridge.
Yeah.
That we threw in, and it worked.
Was it a scallion?
A shallot.
A shallot, yeah.
A lady of shallot.
Yes.
And an onion.
So, used all that up, which is great.
Yep.
And yesterday we cleared so much buckthorn in 90-degree weather.
Yeah, it's 20 degrees above average temperatures here in Minnesota, so when they say the northern latitudes are experiencing the worst of the climate change, it's true.
Yeah, it was bad, and I always forget that I've had heat-related illnesses in the past until I'm like, why am I so tired right now?
Yeah, it takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
So we cleared basically the bigger trees. We did.
Yeah.
Another 10-foot stretch along the driveway
mm-hmm.
of the little stuff. Got some of the big pieces out along there. But then really did the yard side of the front trees. Took out some massive ones. We had put some berry branches. Bearing. There we go.
Yes.
Where we had weeded before, and then I realized that was a poor choice, so we have a bunch of brush piles ready to burn this winter.
Yes.
It'll be so satisfying because it's such an invasive plant.
Yeah. And luckily the weather is cooling today, so.
Yes, I'm looking forward to 60-degree days again. It's my jam.
Yes, agreed. And that'll start tomorrow, which is fantastic. Just wearing cozy clothes and being cozy on the couch.
Having the windows open and it being slightly chilly.
Yeah.
So it's good weather to snuggle in with a blanket.
Yeah. And smelling really good. Like the breezes.
Oh.
And everything. I love fresh air.
The crisp autumn air.
Yes. You also have been playing more Hades 2.
Yes.
As an update from last week.
I've made it to the summit of Olympus, but then I still fell to Typhon, and then I made it down into Hades and met Hades, my dad, or is he daddy? I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far because I have not sunk as many hours into this game as you have.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a thing. It's a good game.
It's your new addiction.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of other good games out there, too.
Yeah, like the Voyager one, I mean, we already mentioned it a week ago, still no news on a release date.
Oh, no. But also current ones of playing, like, there's a wrestling game, there's Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
There's Crusader Kings.
Yes.
Midnight Suns sometimes is appearing back in the rotation.
Oh, and I'm playing Dreamlight Valley, so. Yeah, lots to do.
Oh, we made watermelon radish pickles.
Yes, yeah.
We were like, what do we do with these?
Thanks, CSA. What the fuck are these? It turns out they're just gigantic radishes. They taste like a radish.
It's true. They're about a rutabaga size.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can do this with them. You can eat them fresh. You can pickle them. You can roast them. And I was like, oh, what if we pickled them and had them as little relish things on the side?
Yeah, with like a cheese platter.
Yes.
And some meats.
So if you imagine a thin-skinned rutabaga, and then it's got bright pink on the inside sort of radiating out, it's very pretty.
Hence watermelon.
Yes. It turned the brine a cool pink color, and we just sort of made up our own pickling spices. So there's some bay leaves, there's a cinnamon stick, there's some cloves, peppercorn, allspice,
Yeah.
some sugar.
We'll see how they taste in a couple weeks. Like, let them.
Let them, yeah, saturate.
Yep. Do their thing. And what have you been reading?
What have I been reading?
What
Red
was.
Shirts.
Yeah, Red Shirts number three. Should we save any descriptive stuff for a future IDW episode?
We should.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
And we got our Philip CV art framed.
Yes. Our commissions. You got D-Man, I got Hercules.
It's true. I got D-Man with a title belt with that wrestling federation.
Oh, yeah. And I
And he's
got
looking
Hercules.
very hunky.
Yes, I got Hercules looking like a slut.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's been our week, I guess. It seemed like a very long week.
It
It
really
just
did.
kept going.
It was rough.
Yeah.
And the weekend has blown by.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad that we did a lot of the Buckthorn work, and
Yeah.
it really opened up a lot of space
Yeah.
and cleared. We also took some dead fir branches off too. But now we can do other things, like put a nanny berry in that corner.
Yeah, we just have to clear out all the tiny buckthorns.
Yes. That'll be ongoing, I'm sure, like
Yeah.
as the seed bank depletes.
Yeah.
And it was surprisingly easy to pull them, even along the roadside. I thought it was going to get tougher and tougher the closer we got to the gap.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't as bad as I thought. So that bodes well.
Yeah.
And I looked up nanny berries. The seeds that a coworker might have require a double stratification.
Oh.
So I think if I get them soon, I can put them in some moist sand and put them in the fridge
Oh.
and label them for 3 months from now to come out.
Oh, and then warm up and then.
Yeah, they have to be somewhere warm for another 3 months, and then they
Oh.
go back into the fridge.
Okay. We can do that.
Yeah,
We have nothing to do this winter.
it's just finding a warm cupboard, possibly by the stove,
Oh, yeah.
which might work better up here.
Maybe. I'm trying to think.
I don't know.
Yeah.
My house is drafty.
We'll figure it out.
But yeah, double dormancy, that's a thing.
Yeah.
But should be good for birds, should be good for us. Apparently you can make jelly with the berries. So, dear listener, in case anyone wants to talk about native plants, I love talking about native plants.
Yes. All right, should we crack into our next series?
We
We're
should.
doing early voyages, which a lot of the info has been wiped off the slate due to Strange New Worlds and everything that's come since 1997 when this started.
Oh,
So
things have been retconned.
you sort of have to consider this like an alternate timeline.
But not the Kelvin alternate
No.
timeline.
So the premise of Early Voyages, which is one of the longest running Marvel Star Trek series, is that it is the adventures of Captain Christopher Pike and the Enterprise before Captain Kirk, which is the premise of Strange New Worlds. So obviously still fertile territory for storytelling even now. And
It
we're
is advertising DS9 and Voyager and Starfleet Academy in the back.
Yes, because they all started around the same time.
Oh, okay.
This one goes, I think it's another awkward like 17 issues or something.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I've been trying to plan it, and that's why we have the first issue, which is double size, and then two other issues, trying to make it
Oh.
fit into like four episodes or something.
Space things out.
Yeah. So it was interesting. The first issue has Christopher Pike, which we know from The Cage,
Yep.
and number one, the first officer and Spock, and then other people.
It's
Other men. Just, it's a very dude-heavy crew.
Yeah, there's a different nurse than Nurse Chapel. I
Yep.
don't know if that's just because Majel Barrett, who becomes Nurse Chapel, played number one in that unaired pilot. So her face is already used.
Yeah.
And but we do get a new nurse, and we do get a new helmswoman.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So. And then this is really confusing because I read the first part of this issue while a little high last night. And then I have been reading Star Trek Year 5, which is original series timeline as well. So it's very confusing in my brain right now because that has different people on it too, except they're
Oh.
identifiable, like Erex.
Eryx, the
Yes.
three-armed alien.
Yes, he's in year five.
What about Marex?
Yes,
Maress.
Mariss. She's there too.
Oh.
See, I told you when I'm like, do you want to start reading this? And you're like, someday.
I mean,
And then you got tired.
I
And then
do.
you played some Hades in bed. And then you rolled over and went to sleep.
Which I don't think is doing great for my sleep hygiene. Dear listener, pay attention to your sleep hygiene.
Yeah, I
So.
don't think one night is going to ruin your sleep hygiene. Compared to me, who a doctor this past week is like, you shouldn't take Unisom every night because
No.
it could give you dementia and Alzheimer's. And I'm like, thank you, allergist. Why didn't my primary say anything the past like 5 years when I say I take it every night? So starting tonight, I'm not taking it and it's gonna suck.
Well, maybe it'll treat it like a whole new reset, like reset your sleep hygiene and what you do. And
I'm gonna be so crabby.
I know you can stay out here until you're ready to go to bed and then not watch TV in there.
Yeah, but I usually just read in there. That's the thing.
Right. But you don't want to do anything outside of sleep and have other fun.
Okay. You're acting like a sleep expert.
There was one that came and talked during RA training that was very helpful.
And yet you played Hades.
I know, that's why I'm full of regret right now.
All right, so this double-size first issue, it serves as the introduction to everyone. And there are names that I am not going to remember until we get to the last episode of this series because I'm so bad with names. We see this big splash page of the Enterprise, and it is Pike doing voiceovers.
And it's a. I thought this issue did a really good job of setting up who everyone was, especially using those voiceovers on that splash page.
Yes.
And it seems very strange that the title is Flesh of My Flesh, which seems like one of those words that should be up there with moist. But have to have that organic associated word with this ship out in space is a juxtaposition that becomes a theme more important later on.
Yeah, the first half of this.
But the echoes of all those text bubbles will come back again.
Yes. All right, so we're in the middle of things. We're just plopped right into it.
We are. It's a full double page spread. And one of the things I appreciate about these comics is that it's not the typical panel shapes.
Yeah.
So, like, this has a view of the bridge and, like, the wide expanse of it to get all the crew in. And then along the bottom are little inset panels that are sort of offset a little. It's
So,
not a right angle.
right. The mission that they're on, so smaller ships have gone missing, basically.
The
Well,
crews have.
the ships are there but covered in gray goo on the
Yes.
inside. Everything is gooey.
And there's no crew left. And like meals are left, logs are half finished. There's not really any sort of explanation as to where these people went. They just like up and disappeared, which is one of those sort of like horror tropes, I feel. They even did it in the Firefly movie.
So they come upon this giant organic ship, and they're
Yeah.
like, maybe this is the answer.
The whole thing is a life
It's
form.
a big life form.
And there's little life forms within it.
Yes. And then there's the ship sort of acts aggressively towards them.
Right, it's not responding to hails. Pike is like, let's not raise shields, let's not
Yeah.
take an offensive posture just yet in case we can talk our way out of it.
Yeah, and then he's like, fine, red alert.
Once there's an energy buildup
Yeah.
happening.
And then there's a big white flash. Everything goes white.
And it's a cliffhanger for an ad for a video game I've never heard of before.
Jet Moto on PlayStation.
Yeah. No, thank you.
And then we start our first sort of flashback to see how Pike got the ship from Robert April.
Yeah. Which is, see, it's a good way to introduce, like, who Captain Pike is,
Yep.
but you know him for more than just
The cage.
the cage.
And where. No, not that one.
And
The
that.
menagerie that
Yes.
uses the clips in color.
So he's getting the ship from Admiral April, who has just been promoted and sort of regretting it a little bit.
Yeah, and he's like, I had 3 5-year missions on the Tiberius and one on the Enterprise. So the ship is 5 years old.
They're what a cultural moment, I guess, that Roman names were having.
Yeah.
If the Tiberius was its own ship.
And James Tiberius Kirk.
Yes.
Yeah, it must have been one of those baby name things, like Ashley for our generation.
Olivia. Yes.
And whatever names are popular now. Jackson with an X. I don't know.
Probably.
All right. So we sort of get him getting the handover for the ship.
And he's like, and April is like, if you ever get promoted, fight it, tooth and claw, to always stay in that chair.
And then we flash back to the Enterprise. Everyone's waking up, but the captain's gone.
It's true. And there's a close-up of Spock, and true to that unaired pilot, he has very hairy eyebrows.
Yes.
Like, the looks in terms of faces and number one's hair.
The turtleneck outfits.
The turtleneck sweaters.
Yep.
All true to form.
But the Enterprise is ensnared by this biological ship.
There's tentacles. Yeah. And they're at warp. Like, it's sort of...
They're being towed along.
Yeah.
And the doctor, Dr. Boyce, who is not the doctor I expected. Well, no. I guess I should have, because I think he is in that episode.
Oh, not M'Benga?
Yeah. Give us M'Benga.
Did we ever meet M'Benga in the original series?
I don't think so. I think he was just referenced in, like, books.
Interesting.
I'd have to double check that. But anyway, Dr. Boyce is checking over every member of the crew. And
like, we've been probed.
Like, we all have, like, little poke marks at the base of our necks.
Yes.
And it seems like the ship has a virus.
Yep. Main power is barely functioning. There's no weapons, no shields, no transporters.
Yep. And the doctor's like, number one, get in the chair. We need continuity of command.
Yeah. And she had been thinking about command earlier. And it's a good segue, because then we get the flashback to Pike starting to recruit his crew.
Yes, and we see him in a sidebar. He's in the alien ship naked.
He is, and that's why we're sort of getting these echoes that line up with those echoes of text bubbles on the very first page.
So we see that Spock is basically assigned to the Enterprise.
As a cadet.
Yes. They're like, you will be an acting ensign.
Yes.
And it...
because you have high scores in, like, six different fields all at once.
Astrography, comparative xenobiology, semiotics, quantum mechanics, warp engineering, and four other disciplines. Yeah. And he's the first Vulcan.
Which I thought was strange.
Yeah, I thought he wasn't, but sure.
But I know that the Vulcans look down on Starfleet. Like, they preferred their own science academy.
Yep.
Like, that was much more prestigious.
So then we flash to the present day. Spock is giving a presentation on everything. And they figured out, like, oh, the gray slime is a byproduct of this being that's infected the Enterprise feeding off of the electricity. Like, the electrical energy is what it needs.
Yeah, so it's that's pooping. Why... It's what?
It's pooping. Gray slime.
It is. The virus is what's depleting main power. And that's why... the main systems are not functional. Is this where they talk about the virus as a biological virus and not a computer virus?
I think so, yeah.
I thought that was interesting that the ship is still susceptible to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they set Dr. Boyce and Nurse Carlotti over to work on it along with Spock.
Then we flash back. We have a yeoman, but it's an Irish man with a goatee.
And it's not Finnegan.
No.
This is Dermot Cusack.
And
who is roguish and rakish and, like, smarmy.
Yes. And he and Captain Pike are sitting down and choosing the rest of the crew. We're pressing fast forward on this crew where they're like, we got some flashes to, like, other ones, but, like, let's speed this up. So we have Nurse Carlotti here. We have Nano.
Nano is cool.
So a Liren.
The Liren society apparently is so well organized that, like, everyone has their place. So when an opportunity to engage with other species and engage with Starfleet became a thing, they
popped out this person.
They popped out another person to be like, your role is going to be...
Starfleet.
Yes.
And you can't come back because there's no place in our society for you.
No, like... All positions have been filled. Thank you for your application.
We have Jose Tyler, who is the.
Sort of rakish. He's the Chekhov.
Yes.
He's weapons and
Tactical.
scanning.
Yeah. Security.
I feel tactical sounds better than weapons and scanning.
All right. We have a chief engineer moves with burning grace.
Yeah,
So
it's
he is
Maasai. It's
yes.
interesting how different, in Star Trek lore, different cultures have just left Earth and gone to
Yeah.
other
The
planets.
Messiah is like, we just, we want our own land again.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go to this planet that is like what you took from us. And they developed a focus on being really good engineers.
Yeah, and focus on speed and movement is sacred to the, like how they evolved or
Yes.
how their culture evolved.
And our transporter chief is Nils Pitcairn.
Yeah,
Why?
I don't know.
He's a little hunky in a meathead sort of way.
I mean, I would take Tyler,
Okay.
or the actually, I would take Cusack. But they seem to enjoy first names as last names.
Yeah.
With Tyler, and then I tried to think of the transporter chief from Strange New Worlds
Oh.
slash the original series, and it's
Kyle.
Kyle.
Yes.
But all I could think of was Scotty. I'm like, it's another first name that they're using as a last name.
So we have we've seen that assignment of the crew, the selection of the crew. We go to Naked Pike. He breaks out of the mental prison and he's ensnared in tentacles while naked.
Yes.
There's a lot of horny stuff happening.
And there was some of the dialogue between Pike in the past and Cusack was also very coded. So
Not gonna complain.
the thought bubbles are about you're invading my mind. Why are you perusing my memories? Why are you
Yeah.
going through all this stuff about the ship? And it's the Nagoleth. That is the species, that is this gigantic ship.
They're harvesting biological matter,
Yes, they
basically.
subsume it into themselves
Yeah.
and sort of grow along with it. They just see Earth and the other alpha and beta quadrant planets as fuel. Like your organic matter will be joined into us. It's a little like the Borg.
Yes.
So it's like an organic version of them.
But then, right when they're about to, consume all of Pike,
And
shots ring out.
use little needles.
Yeah.
And it's Nano and Number One and Tyler.
And they come in these full suits.
It's
And they're
like a
like, here's
quilted
us.
fabric. That's the exosuit from TOS,
Yeah.
apparently.
And they're like, here, Pike, put this on, and we need to go.
And like we're walking across the tentacles to get
And
back.
they're like, ew, we're in a stomach. It's very Magic School Bus.
Well, the internal geography of the ship has changed to adapt,
Yep.
and Nano's tricorder readings to get out do not work anymore. Like every landmarks have all changed, so it's the opposite of when Janeway used her tricorder with the Leviathan to harken back to an
Yes.
earlier episode.
Okay, then we get the ungulator.
The Nagoleth.
What other? We are the Ungoltor?
Oh, and Gulltor. I added an H. There's a lot of eyes, there's a lot of slime, there's a lot of them as
Yeah.
well.
And it's a confrontation. They are about to have a face-off with all this whole crowd, and they get beamed aboard.
Yeah, saved at the last minute.
Because they figured out a way to eradicate the infection from the ship. And they did the transporters first so they could get them out.
Yes.
And
Which makes sense. Like,
yeah.
if you have a trial antibody situation, you're going to use it on a non-critical system.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Just in time for the crew to get back to the bridge, and oh no, they're at the mothership.
Like, the mothership. Like, it even dwarfs the
It's
one that
like
they'd already found.
planet-sized. And
Yeah.
they go full impulse in reverse. They fire at the tendrils holding them.
And then they do some photons at the ship and they destroy both of them, which is
Yes.
unexpected.
And that's basically it. That's the first adventure.
There's some regret from Pike of like, we shouldn't have needed to resort to violence. Like, that's not what we're about, which is, actually really nice to yeah. see. Like, that's a good reminder of what the Federation and Starfleet sort of stands for, of not the being the aggressor.
Yeah.
So in that Birth of the Federation game, there used to be like a little video montage at the beginning, and the Federation person would say, "Our ships end wars, they don't start them."
Oh.
So the ships also were much better shielded than other species' ships.
Mm.
Cardassians had more armor. I think Klingons had more weaponry. And then the Ferengi ones were just cheap.
Oh. So a strong first issue, and this series had to confront the problem of we're introducing a bunch of new characters, sort of like Starfleet Academy.
Yeah.
Where it
gives them more of a playground to play with in terms of development and
yeah.
what characters you have to work with.
Yeah.
You're not locked into anyone.
The second issue is entitled The Fires of Pharos. Oh, we didn't do credits. So it's Ian Edginton and Dan Abnett, who were a writing duo on a bunch of different stuff. As the writers, our penciler is Patrick Zercher, inker Greg Adams, colorist Marie Javins, letterer Janice Chang, editor Bobby Chase, editor-in-chief Bob Harris.
I believe those are the same credits for number one, and they definitely are for three.
Oh, great. All right, we open up on a battle.
Yeah,
by unexpected. Starbase 13?
Yes.
And it's basically the frontier of everything, and they're on the edge of a nebula, which is really hard to navigate.
Yeah, so there's all this piracy. The trade routes are being attacked by brigands, Orions, because back in the day, apparently, Orions could only be pirates.
Yes, just like the chief engineer's species can only be good engineers.
Oh, yes.
So we cut inside the space station as we have the bridge crew basically beaming in, being like, "Commodore, we're here to help."
Yeah, there's a Commodore in charge of the space station.
And they're like, "Okay, well, we're constructing this big lighthouse on the planet to help people navigate the nebula.
And it also will keep track of illegal ships yes. going through, so we can track the brigands and deal with them more effectively."
But then we start drilling down, and it's like the purest dilithium you've ever snorted in your life. And it doesn't even need to be refined. And everyone's like, "That's going to be a problem." And lo and behold, it is, because the Klingons are on their way. And they're like, "We're going to show the Federation what for. Okay, yeah. We're gonna fuck them up." And one of the Klingons is like, "Should we?" And gets his nose broken on his console.
Yeah, the captain, like, sneaks up behind. Here's this officer bad-mouthing him and the fact that he has a withered arm.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, but that has made my other arm twice as strong as I bash your face into your console."
Yeah.
So, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" Like, "Yes, sir." Because his face is damaged.
All right, so the Enterprise sets out from Starbase 13 to go to the planet to check out what's going on with the beacon, the lifehouse, the lighthouse?
Lighthouse. They have lost communications with the construction crew.
Okay.
And it's sort of revealed that the Federation is trying to keep the dilithium stores quiet.
Yes.
Because everyone's going to want them.
Yeah.
And if the Federation can just keep it for themselves, then all the better.
So they're on their way, they arrive, and
this massive tower standing out through the atmosphere, even.
Yeah, it's giving the elevator vibes from Voyager.
Because I was looking at that, I'm like, this has to be, like, more of a planetoid.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be that big.
They beam on board, and immediately one of the landing party gets vaporized, and it's the Klingons.
It is the Klingons.
We knew it. And up above, the ship is being harassed by Klingons too.
Yeah, number one on the surface is like, "Enterprise, we've got Klingons." And then Pike is like, "So do we."
Yeah.
We also have our hands full. And so the Klingon commander is targeting the same spot on the ship repeatedly. So it's wearing down the shields in those areas. Mm-hmm. So like, overall, shields may be down to 70%, but that's an overall average versus, like, the main engineering shields are real thin
yes.
at this point in the attack.
So then we just go through simultaneous battles.
It's
We've
true.
seen it before. It's nothing really surprising about it.
I do like number one having such an active role.
And her name isn't Una here.
It's not.
It's something Robbins.
Yes. Oh, I read it and I was like...
No, she just says Robbins.
Oh.
And she's like, I don't want my career tied to my family's legacy because they're famous.
Oh. She's like, yeah, because she said, leave my Christian name out of it.
Yes. So, something Robbins.
Oh.
All right. So then we get sort of the face-off, the classic face-off between a Klingon captain and a Federation captain.
And the Klingon's like, you're ready to surrender. And Pike is like, no, I'm not.
And they beam their crew back aboard from the lighthouse.
And then beam them back down again behind the Klingons
yes.
that are on the surface.
But then they beam them back up because then they fire on the planet, which just ignites all the dilithium.
That will burn for decades, apparently.
And they're like, oh, I guess we did create a beacon.
Yeah. Maybe not how anyone imagined.
Yeah.
And or any useful way.
Yeah. Then other Federation ships are on their way. The Klingons are like, shit, we better get out of here. They run away, but they say they'll be back.
It's very ominous.
Yes. And that's it.
It is. What do you think of that issue?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to talk about what's currently happening in comics, but even in year five, like, I think Klingons are one of those easy issue fillers where you're like, sure.
We need a foil.
We need a foil. The Klingons are the baddies in this era. Let's just do it. Sure.
Because I was thinking about the Klingons in terms of this third issue. Because there are some parallels there.
Okay.
And maybe why they keep choosing Klingons, even though I really dislike them. Like, they're just not terribly interesting to me.
Yeah.
But they're used as a foil so often.
All right, so, and you read these out of order.
Yeah, I went 1, 3, 2.
Yeah.
And so this one is, on the cover, The Battle on Rigel 7. Our Dearest Blood is the name.
It's the 90s.
Yes.
And we have to work blood into it somehow.
There is an extra Y in one of the names, though.
Oh.
So, same credits as before. We get these sort of, like, very muscly barbarian dudes. Sort of serving Viking looks.
Yeah, the Kalar.
The Kalar.
Which is not the same as Kalar from TNG.
No. We stand Kalar.
Yeah.
But these Kalar have an extra Y because I looked up the Rigelians on Memory Alpha to figure out, like, do they really look like this? Aren't they already supposed to be part of the Federation? And there's, like, a subspecies of that are the Kala.
Oh.
That are K-A-L-A. Or oh. K-A, K-A-L-A-R.
Okay.
Rather than the extra Y that's in there.
So it's a big celebration. It's a party. We're invited.
It's the Festival of Light.
And this is the first time that non-Rigelians...
are invited?
Yeah. And it's because they're about to admit Rigel 7 to the Federation.
Yes. And we get the yeoman from before, who's very roguish. He has everything under control. Pike asks all these questions, and he's like, yes, this is done. Yes, this is done. Everyone knows about Rigelian culture to get around. Everyone knows what rotation they are for shore leave duty.
Mm.
Everything is under control. And Pike is like, very efficient. What would I do without you? And Dermot's like, even less than you do now. Har har. So there's
They have a fun rapport.
They do.
They probably make out.
They have to,
yeah.
Based on that, the description from before.
Yeah.
So there's a minister, Atashin, who shows up. They do introductions, and the minister is saying that we look forward to you being a part of this ceremony. It's the years of, or the result of years of sort of cultural change the planet's been going through.
So, like, the Kalar, the angry-looking ones, this is like their last parade with their weapons.
Yes, because the Rigelians are trying to get over their brutal warring history.
Yes.
Sort of like humanity. And they're looking forward to joining the Federation where the Kalar no longer have a role. And I read that and I'm like, oh, that's going to be the seed of this conflict. And it was. So then a beautiful woman shows up.
A hot blonde.
A hot blonde with a braid in her hair and a flowy dress that you know would just be like five times louder if it was on screen in the TOS.
And she's like, Captain, why don't we go look at the castle together?
Yes.
It'd be very sexy. I mean, fun to do that. I mean, educational.
I mean, basically that. He sort of becomes enamored of her. And
which is very Kirk syndrome.
Yes. Kirk would absolutely have gone after her.
Yes.
One-on-one, no security or anything.
So they go off and Dermot's like, okay, I got this here.
We are ready for shore party. You can start beaming folks down. And whoever, the character who sits next to Tyler is like, bah-ha-ha, I get to go down. You're stuck on the ship.
Yes.
And he's like, well, get a souvenir for me.
Yeah.
So Spock is sort of forced to go down because Vulcans don't recreate terribly well.
Yeah, and number one's like, go have fun if it's possible.
Yeah.
And it has to be explained to him that that's humor.
Yes. From Liren, who is like, I get it, I don't get irony either, but humans keep using it, so here we are. So there's a romantic moonrise at this old fortress with the blonde chick. They start to go exploring, and what do you know? There's a Kalar warrior hiding in the shadows. As you do.
Yes.
Was it telegraphed? Maybe.
Yeah. And especially since we both read this while having an Indiana Jones movie on in the background, we're like, that blonde woman is trouble.
Yes.
Don't trust the blonde woman.
She's Elsa from Last Crusade. So we get Yeoman Cusack showing everyone how to mix drinks. He's having a great time.
They're in a bar. Like, it's just a party.
It is. And it seems to be the life of it. And we get a mysterious, like, Dr. Boyce, come join us. And he's gripping the railing. He's saying, let me alone, let me alone. And when the nurse comes out, he's like, it's okay, I'm just getting a breath of fresh air. Don't mind me, let's go back to the party, especially because the yeoman's paying for drinks.
No.
So, back to Pike, elsewhere,
Yes.
As they say in and the comics.
And he whips open his communicator.
And it's not jammed. His pants. It's true.
Because he saves that for Dermot. And
this gigantic Kalar comes down, just goes, grrr.
Yeah, there's no communication, so he's like, oh, I'm in this alone.
And the blonde is like, a Kalar? What?
No way.
As Pike is shoving her out of the way.
Yeah, how'd that get here? And up on the ship, they're like, oh, all communications have been cut, so...
I mean, there is a nice moment with Number One and...
Engineer Grace?
Yes. Who are both sort of looking at the stars. She's sort of ruminating, and he's like, I don't like standing still. Like, we're all about movement and speed, and... So it's comforting to seeing the stars move past, at least. Even if our ship isn't moving.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tyler relays that communication has been severed. The people at the party open their communicators and like, oh, mine's not working, is yours?
And then the Kalar burst in. Burst out swords.
It's very Red Wedding. They're already there.
Not a euphemism. Like, it's an actual sword that gets pulled out, not a dick. And someone gets slashed to death, like, cut in half.
Yeah.
It's graphic.
There's a little box for each of the nurse, the Spock, the doctor, Nano, the Sulu person. I can't remember her name for the life of me. And the yeoman. And everyone get down, and there's a battle. I like how Nano is a bit of a pyromaniac. Level 2 pyrotechnics is what he's described as, or and one of his skills.
Gives, like, a burst that helps out.
And but he got hit in the head, but his chitin took most of the blow, but he's still injured. Mm. And Spock saves the nurse from a morning star that's about to come down, and then we just cut to the other battle with Pike and this other massive Kalar, who you know is evil when he's like, get out of here. And she's like, as you wish, Captain, with a smirk. that he doesn't see.
No.
So
she's going to go give a Nazi a notebook to show them where the Chalice of Christ is. That's what she's about to do.
Really bringing a lot of the Holy Grail into this issue.
I mean, it fits.
So the Enterprise crew is hiding in the basement of the bar. Or a basement, I should say.
Yeah, so they found a safe space, but there are roving bands of Kalar everywhere.
Yeah, so they're patching up their wounded, and the yeoman's like, it's okay. We have a tricorder that can detect the strength and intensity of the dampening field.
Yes.
Therefore, I can track its source and blow it up.
Doctor, you're in charge. I will go out there.
And he's very sneaky, and he finds it, and he's like, hello, my beauty. That's across the top of the page. So as I said, like, more angular panels mm-hmm. and not a typical, like, six-panel spread on yeah. the page. Meanwhile, the bottom half is showcasing the battle with Pike and the Kalar, whose, like, bicep is as big or bigger than Pike's whole head.
Yeah. And he makes a flying leap, and Pike holds up a pike, and
Pike gets him with a pike.
And the Kalar is impaled.
And, like, I'm sorry it had to come to this, but you didn't leave me any choice.
Yes.
So we get back to Cusack, and he's sabotaged the dampening field. He gets communication with the Enterprise. They're asking, what is your status? And in the middle of his report, he gets stabbed, and it's the blonde in the dress.
I can't believe this.
Yeoman.
We didn't see this coming at all.
It still made me really mad.
Yes.
So the dude has fallen, the Kalar has fallen on top of Pike. More Kalar warriors are approaching.
All they do is shout Kalar.
Yes. And at that point, the security teams are beaming down. They're in place. It's a miraculous save with some phasers. And they're like, we are getting back to protect our people. We're beaming them back up to the ship. And we get a Captain's Log supplemental, which is not how I expected it to end.
Yeah.
Dear listener, that was Asta roaming through a crunchy tunnel.
Yes, a crinkle tunnel.
She has roused herself from her nap.
Yes. To eat some hay.
And it looks like she has to poop.
And she's wondering why vent isn't on.
Oh.
Yeah.
She loves a good air conditioner vent. So the attack on my crew was orchestrated by Rigelian extremists, Kalar loyal traditionalists resenting Rigel's joining the Federation. The situation is under control, but at a price. I have 2 crewmen dead and 7 injured. Rigel's application will be denied. Starfleet has commended our swift response in quelling the coup, but it's a hollow victory. Because the yeoman is dead. And then the blonde is led away, hopefully to go to prison.
Yes.
And there's a very bleak, like, Pike weeping over the body of Cusack as the nurse and doctor, like, stand off to give him space.
Yeah.
I was so mad.
Yeah.
I
because Cusack is one of the more engaging characters that we've encountered so far. Yeah.
I love a good rogue who's good at his job.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
Starfleet Academy. Where we had one of those kids get killed right away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you have to do that?
I know.
So I looked up the Rigelians because I'm like, this doesn't quite jive with what I know about Star Trek.
Mm.
And in Enterprise, the Rigelians are one of the founding species of the Federation.
Mm.
So I'd always thought it was Tellarites, Andorians, Vulcans, and humans. But then the Rigelians kept getting thrown in there, too.
Hmm.
And they're not, it's weird in Memory Alpha. They're like, they're this turtle species from the motion picture. Oh, they are saber-toothed turtles, which...
What?
It's a fun mental image. But then there's another Rigelian entry that's got the very pale face with purple markings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Enterprise and Lower Decks Rigelians, who I think fit in with the founding of the Federation. And then it's like, oh, there's 3 subspecies of Rigelians. There's the turtles, there's the purple ones, and then there's the Kalar. So.
But not that human-looking one.
They were human-looking.
Oh.
With pointy ears.
Oh.
So, apparently that's how all 3 different versions of Rigelians show up, and why, I guess, The Rigelians from the inner planets can be part of the Federation, but Rigel 7, less so.
Oh.
Which is weird. Like, you'd think your
Yeah.
whole system would go in, but I guess if your government doesn't extend that far.
Yeah. But also for 1997, none of that existed. So
The turtles existed.
barely.
In the
That
background.
would have been like a fanzine thing. Like, did you know this is what a Rigelian looks like? And it would have been printed once in like 1982.
Is that
And
when the motion picture was? That long
no,
ago?
it was 1979.
Okay.
But was shown up like when people could view the Betamax at their home. And there would have been like, this is a Rigelian. And someone just straight up made that up. Like,
Yeah.
and that's how things became canon back then. So it's easy for 1997 to be like, okay, that happened once, and how many people actually know that and can look that up?
To be fair, the picture in Memory Alpha was very fuzzy.
Yes. Like
Like,
the crowd scene where they're addressing and they're like, we have to go after V'ger, and it's just a crowd scene of like 1,000 people.
yeah.
Yeah. So, are you excited for this series?
A little less so now that they killed the yeoman, but
Oh.
in general, I am.
Yeah, the romantic tension is gone with
Yes.
Pike. So,
And what's up with the doctor? Why is
yeah.
he acting weird?
Yeah.
Maybe M'Banga will come after him.
Maybe. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us on this brand new Star Trek journey
Yeah.
as we work our way through another Marvel Star Trek series. I think we have four episodes of this more.
That makes
So,
sense.
yeah, so we're in it for the long haul. And
Join us for the next one.
yes,
And there'll be
please
Alpha
do.
Flight next week.
There will be. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Be well.
Bye.